Revelation chapter 9, verse 12 through chapter 10, verse 2. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released, so that they might kill a third of mankind. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which proceed out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths, and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons, and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immoralities, nor of their thefts. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book which was open, and he placed his right foot on the sea, and his left on the land. As we're looking at Revelation chapter 9, beginning with verse 12, and carrying through the second verse of chapter 10. You'll notice the primary theme that I have set before you is turning to God's grace in the gospel is the only answer to the warning blasts of the trumpets. We're in that section of the book of Revelation in which the seven trumpets are sounding, and as I have said before, these trumpets are warning sounds that are given to the early church and also given to us. As I begin this morning, I want to relate to you part of a recurring dream that I used to have a long time ago when I was a little chafer, and that recurring dream occurred as a child, coming out of trips that I used to take to visit my grandparents in Detroit, Michigan, my dad's parents. They lived in an apartment house which was backing up to a park, which was called Waterworks Park in Detroit, Michigan. And that park was near the Detroit River, and I remember very well as a boy always going down to the Detroit River and especially watching the speedboat races that are famous on the Detroit River. I don't see you perking up on that because you don't know about those races, some of you, but those races are quite the thing in that part of the country. And I used to often go to that park and swim, and I had a dream. I don't know how many times I had this dream, but it was numerous. And in this dream, I was in Waterworks Park in Detroit, Michigan, and I was playing in this beautiful park. And as I was playing in this park, a snake would appear and chase me. It was an ugly snake. And I would run and always climb up a tree. And just as the snake was about to get me, as I was climbing up that tree, it seems to me it was about to grab me by the hand, I'd wake up. That'd be the end of the dream. And I had that dream I don't know how many times as a boy. What's the interpretation of that dream? Anyone want to hazard a guess? Well, I'll tell you what I think the interpretation of the dream is. The devil was after me. And the devil was after me and my life. I really think that's the case.
And the astounding thing about this particular dream is this. After I became a Christian, I never, ever had that dream again. And for many years, I was afraid to talk about that dream and to say what I've just said. You know why? Because I was afraid I'd have that dream again and make myself a liar. But that's the case. And I've never ever, I really haven't had that dream again. And the lesson, it seems to me, from that, for me, is that the devil was after me. But Jesus Christ brought a wonderful salvation. And I am secure in that salvation. I think that's part of the lesson, at least, that is brought to us by this particular text. As we see the warning of these trumpets, and a particular trumpet in the book of Revelation in chapter 9, carrying on into the 10th chapter. Verse 12, the first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Earlier trumpets have sounded. And the fifth trumpet was characterized as a particular woe which is being brought upon the earth. The first is now past. And the sixth trumpet, or the second woe, is about to be brought. Verse 13, and the sixth trumpet, or the sixth angel, sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. In this wonderful vision, the sixth angel sounds his trumpet. And as the trumpet is sounded, a voice is heard coming from in between the four horns of the golden altar which is before the throne. And this golden altar is the altar of incense which we have seen earlier in these wonderful visions. The altar of incense upon which the incense is cast and ascends before the throne of God, which with the prayers of the saints. And this voice, this single voice, which is heard now, coming up from this golden altar, is, I think, and many of the commentators agree, and I'm glad for that, many of the commentators agree that this is a part of the prayers of the saints of God, which are ascending up before the throne of God. And the prayer is this. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now, of course, folks, this is a picture, is it not? This is not something where we are literally laying out the map of the Middle East and saying, okay, this is what God is saying is going to happen. This is a word picture which is given to us, which is deep in symbolism. What is the meaning of the river Euphrates here? Well, the river Euphrates historically was the eastern border of the kingdom of Israel, as it was promised to Abraham and as it was promised to David. And so it was the extremity of the kingdom. Okay? And as you pass over the extremity of the kingdom, what do you find? You find the enemies of the kingdom. And so the picture which is given to us here is a picture of the borders of the kingdom of God, and the trumpet blast is sounded, and the command is given, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates, who are at the extremity of the kingdom. That's very interesting that the very same word is used here for the binding of Satan in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we are given the symbolism of angels which are bound and held back so that judgments and evil cannot come into the kingdom of God. That's, it seems to me, the picture which is given to us. Verse 15, and the four angels who had been prepared for the day, for the hour and the day and the month of the year were released so that they might kill a third of mankind. And so these angels are released and evil is able to flood into the kingdom of God. Again, friends, grasp the picture which is given to us. Verse 16. And a number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. There's significance always to the numbers in the book of Revelation. And literally, this number is two myriads of myriads. Very interesting. Correct? You guys don't think this is real interesting. I can tell that by the expressions on your faces. In the earlier portions of the book of Revelations, when we saw the angels around the throne of God, the angels were numbered as myriads of myriads. Okay? Now we have a similar thing here, where the enemies of the kingdom of God are numbered as myriads of myriads, but two myriads of myriads. And I think this has reference to earlier things that have happened under the four or the seven trumpets earlier in the book of Revelation. As we looked at these things and the trumpets were sounded, what we found was, if you will recall this, that we had kingdoms and economic systems and social systems and educational systems which were represented. And these were systems that attempted to build a culture without God. You know, that's happening today. We have an educational system in our country that is attempting to do its work without God. We have a political system in our country. Sadly, it doesn't matter which party you're speaking of, which is attempting to do its work, essentially, without God. We have economists who are saying, it doesn't matter whether they're conservative or liberal, we have economists who are saying, we can do our work and build our society, our economic systems, without God, and it will not wash. And these systems are self-destructive. And what we find is that as these systems are built, they implode. They collapse on themselves. And this is part of the judgment of God. And this is part of the myriad of myriads, one of the myriad of myriads that is given to us under this sixth trumpet. How about the other myriad of myriads? Well, earlier we saw that we not only had these political and social and economic and educational systems that implode and fall and collapse upon themselves and bring the judgments of God down upon those who are opposed to God, but we find the pit of hell opened itself and this great horde of locusts comes forth, and we spoke of this as soul-destroying plagues. And unfortunately, there are many heresies abroad in the world today. For one, I think of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's absolutely amazing to me as we see their ads on television, and they are pushing the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. How in the world can you have another last will and testament? That boggles my mind. The last will and testament of Jesus Christ is given in this book, in the Gospels. And we cannot have another last testament giving us something else. And of course, the proof that their book is the Word of God is some internal feeling and sensation, so-called. Bunk. That's what I say. Heresy. Part of that which comes out of the pit in a flood and perverts and smokes and fills the air. The second myriad of myriads. And what is the death that comes forth from all of this? Most significantly, dear friends, the death that comes forth from heresies and the death that comes forth from those who trust in economic systems and political systems and educational systems and social systems outside of God. The death that comes forth is a spiritual death when men and women are separated from the glories of God forever. Do you not realize, do we not realize, that spiritual death is much more significant than physical death? Oh, we don't realize that. Not as we should. We spend our hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands to maintain our lives physically. But we hardly cross the street in order to ensure our eternal spiritual welfare in our culture and in our society. And yet, the more important thing is that spiritual welfare. And the judgments of God come and the warning blasts of these trumpets come, calling men and women to seek the Lord while He may be found and to call upon Him while He is near. Are we listening? Is our society and our culture listening? No, you're right. Not listening as we should. Not listening as we should. It seems to me that that's what these trumpet blasts are indeed about. I want to say one word, too, about the one-third that is given. Perhaps I should read verses 16 through 19. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw the vision of the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. And a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceed out of their mouths. For the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do their harm. A one-third of mankind, the scriptures tell us in this picture. And we're not taking this number literally here. You understand that that's the case. Maybe I should rephrase that. The way to take these visions literally is to understand the picture properly. Let's see. This gets confusing, doesn't it? We have to understand the picture properly to understand what God is saying. Earlier, under the seven seals, when the four horsemen of the apocalypse come forth, power is given, it is said to them, to destroy one quarter of the earth. Now the ante is increased, is it not? To one third. Why is that the case? Here's what's happening, it seems to me. Under the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we are given the span of time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. And the emphasis is upon that whole span of time. I should have my blackboard here. And as we move to the next vision or sets of visions, which we are in now, the ante is up and we are looking down the scale, concentrating a little bit more on the end of time, concentrating on history as it approaches the end of time. And that one-third means, dear friends, that we need to pay more attention, that the ante is being upped by God, and that the destructive forces are going to be increased as we approach the end of time, and more souls are going to be lost. Do we understand that that's the case? And it is absolutely imperative that the gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed. I'm under deep conviction regarding this. I really am. That I need to be more forceful in preaching the gospel in a narrow sense and calling men and women to Jesus Christ. What about these horses now? These are some horses, aren't they? And their riders. They are splendid. And they are wearing armor. And that armor is brightly colored red and a deep blue and a deep yellow, representing the fire that comes from where? You know where. Out of hell itself. And representing the smoke that comes from hell itself. And representing the brimstone that comes from hell itself. I've entitled the message this morning, Brimstone Everywhere. God's grace answers. Jonathan Edwards was very fond of saying that brimstone is falling all around us. And we're looking around and asking it, going, where? Where? Because we don't have eyes to see it. It's there. Because the judgments of God are all around us. Again, reading from our text, a third of mankind was killed by these plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which proceed out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. What is the vision telling us? The vision is telling us simply this, that we are engaged in a war of words. And this war of words involves words that either come from on high, from heaven, or these words come from the depths and the pits of hell itself. We are in the midst of that battle and that war of words as we speak this morning. Is that not the case? Why do we call Jesus Christ, the Word, who became flesh? Because He is the expression of God. And we need to talk about Him and to explain Him to others. And there is the other side of the battle being engaged by those who are opposed to our God and to His Christ. And they are mustering all of the arguments they can to oppose our gospel. And we need, dear friends, to study to show ourselves approved of God so that we can speak the truth in a timely fashion. It is the word spoken and brought home by the Holy Spirit of God that saves the souls of sinners. Is that not the case? And so, the power of these horses, it is said, is in their mouths. And they have tails like serpents. We just read from Isaiah chapter 9. Did you pick up the fact that the heads of state in Israel were called the head? And when they turned away from God, God's displeasure came upon the nation. And that the false prophets were called the tail. And when they did not properly speak the things of the kingdom of God, God's judgment came upon the nation. Guess what? Guess what? You are there. I believe that's the case. And I believe that too often the Church of Jesus Christ has not stood as it should. And that there are too many political leaders who are more desirous of political correctness
than in truth. And trouble is on the horizon. The trumpet is sounding, and the warning blasts are being given. 20 and 21. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immoralities, nor of their thefts. Why are there storm clouds on the horizon? The trumpets sounding. Why? It is a call to repentance. It is a call to return to the living God. Repent, therefore, and return. Oh, dear friends, that's the call. You know, it's very interesting that those who are caught up in the political and social and economic and educational systems of our day become like them. Isn't that true? And I'm not saying, you know, I'm gonna get this. I know I am. That I'm opposed to our school system in Sterling, Kansas. That's not the case, because I really believe that Christians are the glue that hold these things together, and Christians need to be working and testifying to the grace of God in these systems. But ultimately, when people do not turn to Jesus Christ and to God, they implode. And the judgments of God are present, and it is a call to repentance that is being given. I'm fascinated by the fact that on the internet several months ago, I was privy to a debate about the Oklahoma City bombing. And there was this mass of individuals who said the Oklahoma City bombing is a judgment of God on our nation. And there was another mass of people who were saying the Oklahoma City bombing is the work of the devil. You guys over here are wrong. And this debate was raging. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, you guys are both right. I think you are. But I think you're missing the point. That things like this are a trumpet blast from God to get our attention so that we will hear the word of God and repent of our evil deeds. That's what it's about. And there is an evangelistic call here in these occurrences. A wonderful call we need to hear. And it's sad that individuals become like the idols they serve. And they have ears, but they hear not. And they have eyes, but they see not. And so they will not repent. I want to tell you something here, folks. There's a deep strain of predestination in this text. Deep strain. And many of these people have been raised up by God, as the psalmist says, flourishing evil in order that they might go to perdition. Do you hear that? And can you therefore thank God that you are on the other side of that issue, and that God has given you faith in the Savior to know Him and to love Him? How wonderful that is. And I think that's what chapter 10 brings us to. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book, which was open. You see, earlier we saw a great book in the hand of God, which was closed, sealed with seven seals. And this was a book which only Jesus Christ could open. And now there is a little book which is open, easily accessible to all who would read it. And I think in part, dear friends, that little book is this book, the Word of God, which is open to all who will read it. And it contains the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It contains the story of Jesus coming and being born, living a perfect life, dying on a cross to save sinners. Do you love that little book? Do you? And do you read this little book? And do you follow this book? What a privilege it is to do so. And the great angel of God is now presently standing upon the earth with an open hand and that book. And Jesus is saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for this book of Revelation. And thank you, Father, how it lays before us the greatness of your majesty and power. Thank you, Father, that we are in your hands. And there is little doubt about it. And it is not our way, but your way, which will prevail to your honor and to your ultimate glory over all. Help us to understand that. And help us to understand this, particularly in this season of the year, we ask. In the name of Jesus.